This week's parasha starts off V'hoya Ekev Tishmon Eis HaMishpatim Va'ele Ushmartem V'asisem Oysom. So Rashi tells us, what is Ekev Tishmon? Im HaMitzvahis HaKalot She'odum Dosh V'akovav Tishmon. The mitzvahs that are easily threshed by the heel, that people do not appreciate those mitzvahs and they step on them and they're not considered important. If we keep those, Rishama Hashem Alikecha Locho Asabris Asachese Ashenish Baal Abisecha, and then the Pasuk can go on to say Vahecha and Baruch Tia, and we're going to get a lot of brachas. The question is, the Avnei Nezer asks, why is it that for heeding the mitzvahs that are kalos, that a person is generally dosh v'akovav, the ones that seem unimportant, why is it that those are the ones that we're getting all these brachas for specifically? So Avnei Nezer explains with the Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina says that the cheapest asham cost more than any chatas. Why is it that the cheapest asham costs more than a chatas? And he explains that when a person does a chet, and he knows he did a chet, so it's easier to do tshuva, because he understands that he did a chet. A carbon asham, a chatas one brings when he knows he did a chet. He knows he did an avera, there he brings a carbon, as opposed to a carbon chatas. As opposed to a carbon asham is brought when it's a suffix. He's not sure. So now, if someone is not sure about something, it's much harder to really feel, to have the feeling that I want to do better and I want a kapara, because I'm not really sure that I did something wrong in the first place. So therefore, the Torah makes you pay more for an asham, so you should feel it a little bit more. By paying a little bit more, you'll realize that something significant is happening here. It's not like, yeah, big deal. I'm not really sure if I did it anyways. I'll bring an asham just in case. No. You still need to do a tshuva, and therefore it costs more money. So Avnei Nezer answers with this, and that's what the Pesukim are talking about over here. He says, if someone heeds the mitzvahs that are dosh v'akovav, the easy mitzvahs, the light mitzvahs, the ones that are not considered important, that people don't realize if you're doing something wrong or not, he says, therefore it'll be easier to do tshuva. If you heed, these are the mitzvahs that are very hard, these mitzvahs asays and lois asays, if you're not careful with these are very hard to get tshuva on. Someone has a taiva, he has a very strong taiva to do something, and the taiva causes him to do the aveir when it comes time to do tshuva, or Shoshana and Kippur, and any time during the year, he understands what he's doing tshuva, he did an aveir, he did a chet. As opposed to the ones that was really an avera, you don't really appreciate it, you don't really realize it, you don't pay attention to it, and therefore it's a much harder thing. So if someone heeds the little mitzvahs, his tshuva will be easier to attain, to be pure, and therefore he'll be on a higher madrega to get all these brachas. This yisoid is really a yisoid that we see numerous times. We know that Klal Yisrael, actually people start before that, the Shvatim, the Shiftei Ka, sold Yosef, Mechiras Yosef. We also know that Klal Yisrael did the Chet Ha'egel. Terrible things. It said that Asar Erugim Malchus came because of the Mechiras Yosef. We know that because of the Egel. We also know by the Meraglim, the Chet of the Meraglim. These are various that today we're still paying for. These are Chatam that lasted today. As of today in Tav Shanayim Beis, we still need a tshuva for those things. Every time when we come to Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we're always asking for tshuva for these things. However, if you'll notice, a few weeks ago we spoke Parshas Pinchas, there was a Magefa. 24,000 Yidden died because they were over Avodah Zorah and Gilei Raos. Two of the three, the Chatoim Gedolim. And we don't hear anything about it after that. 24,000 people died. Pinchas came, killed Cosby and Zimri. End of story. We don't have any lasting effects today in Tav Shanayim Beis. What's the difference between the other ones and that? And it's the same difference. By the Chiras Yosef, brothers sold him, they were certain they were doing the right thing. What did they have to do tshuva for? They were convinced they're right. It wasn't a taiva, it wasn't a pshat. We know we're doing something wrong, we can't hold ourselves back, and therefore we're going to do it. No! They sat down, it says, the Chazal tell us, they sat down, they sat in judgment, they gave psak and said, Yosef is a roidif, Yosef has to leave, and therefore they were going to kill him, they didn't kill him, they felt they did the right thing. When they made an ego, they thought, I so convinced that Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer here in this world. They needed a medium between them and their Rabbeinu Shalom. They made an eagle, L'shem Shemayim. The same thing we have with the Meraglim. The Meraglim, they felt that they were doing the right thing. How are we going to conquer the land? The Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to send in Meraglim. We're not going against the Rabbeinu Shalom's world. These are Chatom we're still paying for today. Because these are ones that we have to realize that they're Chatom. That it's very hard to do a tshuva on those because you're not convinced you're doing something wrong. When the Megefa with the 24,000 even died, they did Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos with the Noshim of Midian. But they all understood, we have a terrible taiva. The Noshim of Midian came, it was a taiva, when they were doing it, they didn't think, oh, we're doing it L'shem Shemayim. They made a mistake, they couldn't hold themselves back. It's easier to do tshuva on that. Certainly not a proper thing, and we have to work on it, that we shouldn't be do things that are various, that are taivas. But nonetheless, it's much easier to achieve a kapara. As they say, I've never gone to one. But they say if you go to an AA class, Alcohol Anonymous, I've heard this numerous times, I've never been there, that the step, no, they have a whole, I don't know if it's a 10-step process in how to cure you if you're addicted to alcohol. But the step number one is knowing that you're an alcoholic. Until you know you're an alcoholic, there's nothing to work on, there's nothing to accomplish. The same thing over here. Until you realize that I did a chet and I have something to do tshuva on, it's not shayach to do tshuva. You can't get to that tshuva. So that's one thing that Torah is teaching us over here. Another thing, it says, Ekev Tishmur Eis HaMishpatim. It doesn't say anything about Chukim. We know this is Mishpatim, this is Chukim. What's the difference? Why does it say specifically Mishpatim? Things that we understand. Things that we, to us, make sense. And the answer is that there are mitzvahs that we do because it makes sense to us. And we're doing, someone gives tzedakah. He sees a poor person. The Goyim also, they give tzedakah. Because you're giving charity to the person, you give alms to the poor, they need money, they need food, you give them. It's something that you can understand. You understand not to kill somebody. These are things we understand from our own God. So if you are mekayim those mitzvahs, you have to do it because the Rebbeinu Shalom commanded you. Even the mitzvahs that you do should be all done because the Rebbeinu Shalom commanded you. The motion is Joshua's. Yes, Parsha the Kasha. And he goes to Moshe the Teretz. He asked the Kasha, we know that the Rebbeinu Shalom went to the other Umay Sa'olam to offer them the Torah. They all said no. They went to Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael said Nasa Ibn Ishma. He went to one Umay said, oh, it says, you're not allowed to kill? Not for me. You're not allowed to steal? Not for me. In fact, Moshe, if you go into any society, any normal society in the world, there's no stealing, there's no killing. You cannot have a society where people kill each other. It's just not going to work. It's not a society. It's just living in a not society. You can't live in such a place. So why did they say no to the Torah? Because of those. So Moshe says that he gives a marshal that when you have a group of bandits, amongst the bandits themselves, they have what they call a code of honor. If one bandit would steal from another bandit, he's considered a Russian Marusha and they kill him. It's treason that they're within the band of robbers. But what do these guys do? They're marauders. They go out and steal and kill everybody else. That's fine. Because in their society, they're not saying either that we're not killing, we're not stealing because it's a wrong thing, because it's ethically wrong, or because God said it's wrong. They're doing it, Matthias, because you cannot have a society. How is a band of robbers themselves going to exist? So they need to have such rules of no killing, no stealing. But they're not doing it to their banishah. And Klal Yisrael said, Nasiv and Ishma, they were accepting the mitzvahs. It doesn't matter whether even those mitzvahs that make sense to us, that we would do maybe because of society or because it makes sense, we're going to do it because the Rebbeinu Shalom told us and no other reason. The Chidah says in the Chadri Botan, he says that It says mishpatim over here means talking about making a siyug. It's talking about making a gate. It means that in the order ekev tishmon, the word of ekev mishpatim, Torah ekev, the heel doesn't mean the heel, but it means that aside from the actual mitzvahs that we have a chiyuv to do, we have to build our own gates around that. The chachamim build many gates, and we certainly have to listen to the chachamim, but more so, each individual has to create his own boundaries. If you know that if you're going to go to a certain place, it can cause you to end up doing an avera, you have to make sure to stay away from that place even before it. Even though going to the place itself is not, say, Tosser anywhere, not the Araisa, not the Rabbanon, but you yourself know that by going to that place, it's going to cause, you might end up coming to do the avera every year as a chayvus to do that. By doing that, you'll be zayichah to all the brachot because you won't end up doing averas. Lastly, the Noyam Elimelech says, he quotes a Gemara in Brochus and Daf Lamed, which the family is going to be at him, before you turn around, that when a person is at Chutz Laretz, he's supposed to daven towards Eretz Yisrael. When a person is in Eretz Yisrael, he's supposed to daven towards Yerushalayim. When a person's in Yerushalayim, he's supposed to daven to the Beis HaMikdash. When a person's in the Beis HaMikdash, he's supposed to daven to the Katzei Katzim. Why don't you always just daven towards the Katzei Katzim? Wherever you are, whether you're in Chutz Laretz, where are you giving me this whole order? That when you're doing tshuva, when you're doing avodas Hashem, you have to know it step by step. Don't think you should jump. You're not on the madrega that if you should jump too high, too fast, you're going to fall. The way avodas Hashem is slowly, step by step. You're in Chutz Laretz, you're further away, look to Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, look to the Yerushalayim and so on and so forth. That is where we build up our ruchnias in a pyramid to get up to the top. Later in the parasha, it says, V'ato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elikecha Shoyel Mi'imach, Ki in the years Hashem Malikecha, V'chaleches V'chol D'racha V'lahava Yisrael. Listen here, Klal Yisrael, what does Hashem, your God, ask of you? All He wants is to fear Him. That's it. Sounds pretty simple according to the Pasuk. That's cool. Just fear Him. Zot Rashi, Ki in Liyira, Rabbi Seinu Dorshu Mikan, Hakoil Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Miyira Shemayim, Brochus, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, which will be at soon as well. Everything is in the hands of Shemayim except for Yira Shemayim. So what does that mean, Hakoil Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Miyira Shemayim? The Goyin explains that everything is in the hands of Shemayim. Everything that we choose, we're not really choosing. The only thing that we have bias on of really choosing is our Yiras Shemayim. I don't know if it's true, but I heard statistically they say when you have the Coke machines and you have the Pepsi machines, really, Coke is the best seller by far, as is Pepsi for that company. And there's really no major reason to sell all the other flavors. I never understood this because I like Sunkist, but this is what they say, this is a study that they had. And they say that every time a person goes to the machine and he has a choice, there's three Cokes, there's a Sunkist, and there's a cherry soda, a person likes to have choices. The study says that the same guy is going to go buy the same Coke every single time. And maybe the one guy, the few guys who are drinking the Sunkist and cherry soda, they're going to pick the cherry, the Sunkist soda. But everyone likes to have a choice in life. So the reason why Coke and Pepsi have the other flavors is just so people should feel that they have that choice. Even if they're going to choose the Coke every time, but I had a choice. I could have picked the Sunkist. I chose Coke. And by this, according to what we're saying over here is that this is really preordained. We think we're making a choice. We think we're choosing vanilla ice cream over chocolate ice cream. We're not. It's already built into our systems of what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. It's already built in. It's not our choice. What is our choice? Our choice is of Yerush Shemayim. If we want to be a Yerush Shemayim, that is something we have an opportunity to decide. We want to be a Yerush Shemayim. Chidush Yerim, he says that when it says Akol B'day Shemayim Chutz Meir Shemayim Yes Akasha, we say in a Hava Rabba, we say V'sein B'libeinu Bina, and then we say Liyira Eshemecha. We ask the Rabbi Shalom that we should fear his name. He says, well, 1 second. The Gemara says Akol B'day Shemayim Chutz Meir Shemayim. Meir Shemayim is not in Shemayim. It's down here. You want Yir Shemayim, you gotta get it yourself. So why do we say Lira Shemecha? We daven to the Baruch Hu, give us Yira. We gotta get that ourselves. Zok Techidushe Herim, he says, is that it doesn't mean like that. He says it means that everything, if a person davens to Shemayim and he asks for things, whether it's Parnasa or Refuah or whatever he asks for, that is Bidei Shemayim. Shemayim could choose whether they're gonna give it to him or they're not gonna give it to him. Yira Shemayim. If someone davens to the Rebbeinu Shalom for Yir Shemayim, he's certainly getting it. It's not a shaila, he's getting Yir Shemayim. So he shaita mechadish Yira. For years I had this question, and I couldn't find a satisfying answer. I found it last year. What in the world is Yir Shemayim? Why do you call it Yir Shemayim? The Pasuk says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shem Yimach Ki Im L'Yir Es Hashem Elokecha. Why is the Gemara then says Hakol B'day Shemayim Chutz Miyir Shemayim? Why doesn't it say Yir Es Hashem? Where is this Yir Shemayim? I found in the Ben Ishchai in Chaz Deyavos, he explains that Yir Shemayim is referring to Shemayim. What is Shemayim? The Shemayim is made up of two things, Eish and Mayim. That's why it's called Shemayim. Eish and Mayim. Eish and Mayim are two things that inherently conflict with each other. They cannot coexist. It's not shaykh. A person has a tremendous taiva to do something. He wants very badly to do something. But he knows that God said, the Rebbeinu Shalom said, no, you should not do it. If he's able to overcome that and say, I'm not going to do that, he's inherently taking Eish and Mayim and he's making them coexist. Ben Ishchai said that a person's job on this world is to get to that level, of be a Yira Shemayim. It says specifically Shemayim, to get to that level of being able to coexist, like Shemayim, where you have a Shemayim together, something that inherently doesn't make sense, to be a person that's also able to overcome his titus and be like Eish and Mayim. Chofetz Chaim says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach. What does the Rebbeinu Shalom want from us? He says, this is a question we must ask ourselves every single day. He's supposed to get up in the morning and say, what does God want from me today? I heard a ma'isa from Rabbi Shoraj Mashiach to my Rebbe. He said he heard this from a guy who was driving a person who was sick to the hospital, back and forth. It was Nebuchadnezzar, a very sick person. He had a machla, and he was consistently going back and forth to the hospital for treatments and for surgeries on a regular basis. And the driver asked the choyler one day, he says, I'm amazed. I look at you, and every day I take you to the hospital, you seem so calm, so serene, nothing is on your mind. I'm going, no problem. What's shat? How do you have such a menuchas nefesh? So this quote-unquote pashut that he had answered him. He said, every morning I wake up and I say, what does God want from me today? What does Rebbeinu Shalom want me to do today? I have to make a panosa. I have to learn. I have to help my wife with the kids. I have a lot. But where is it? What does Rebbeinu Shalom want? Everyone says, if you had a navi, Rebbeinu Shalom would send down a list of what our responsibilities are today so we can do it. How do you know what Rebbeinu Shalom wants? I don't know. When I have to go to the hospital and I have a treatment and I have a surgery, I know this, I know what the Baruch Hashem wants from me today. I don't have to question it. I don't have to make a cheshbon. I'm sick. The Baruch Hashem obviously wants me to go to the hospital. I need to get my treatments. And that's his menuchas hanefesh. And that is the unbelievable yisayid of Mo Hashem Alekecha Shoyo Me'imach Ki'im Le'ir. We still don't know what ki im liyir es Hashem alikecha, how is it so simple to accomplish. The Tzur HaMor says that when it says Mo Hashem Alkecha Mayel Shayom Imach, it's Al Tikri Mo Ela Meya. The Gemara says so. He doesn't say that. He says that when it says Mo, it means a person is supposed to make 100 brachas every day. So Gemara says that if someone makes 100 brachas every day, so he's getting to the level of seeing the Rebbeinu Shlomo, he explains from the Chafetz Chaim, and he's asking, Mo Hashem Alkecha Shayom Imach. He sees the Rebbeinu Shalom in front of him. If someone is able to see the Rebbeinu Shalom in front of him, and everything that he does, we make a bracha and we think about it, we're saying, thank you Rebbeinu Shalom for giving us this food, for doing this, for doing that, it becomes part of us, part of our thought process of what does Rebbeinu Shalom want from us, and that's how we will attain a level, he says, and the Shremur says, when if someone is Mekayim, I don't understand why, the Shremur is a Rishon, he says, that if someone is Mekayim, May a brachas a day. It's ki'ilu mekayim yiras Hashem. So if he's mekayim, being yiras Hashem. This week's parasha we have, it talks about birchas hamazon. V'achalta v'savata v'rachtas Hashem alekecha ala oretz atoiva asher nosam loch. The bracha, this is a deraisa to say benching after we eat. How do we know to make a bracha before we eat? The Gemara says to Kal V'chaim, Madach, you have to eat, you make a bracha after you eat, you certainly have to make a bracha before you eat. However, by Torah, it's punkt faket. The Gemara says, Menachas, Kishem Hashem Ekra V'goydu L'Kenu, teaches us, we have to make a bracha before we learn Torah. And as far as after, the Gemara says, well, why don't we make a Kal V'chaimer like by benching? So the Vilna Gaon asks, he says, what's the difference? Why is it that by birchas hamazon, by food, we say first the bracha is after the Torah says that's what the rice is, and the Kal V'chaimer to before, as opposed to Torah, make a bracha before, and then you have a Kal V'chaimer to after. So the Vilna Gaon explains that a taiva, a person has a taiva to eat something, he has a taiva to smell something, he has a taiva that he wants to accomplish. Once he accomplishes, once he gets to the maisa, it's a low madrega. The ikka thing is the taiva. Sometimes a person has a taiva to do something, a taiva to do a chet. After he does the chet, it's not so satisfying anymore. It's the taiva, the drive to want to do the maisa. That's what the accomplishment is. Once you actually do the maisa, there's nothing there anymore. So by benching, if it says by benching, that I benched, and after I already, it's a shlach of thing already. It's like, I already got my fulfillment. I already ate. I'm already satisfied. I already now don't have any further pleasure. There's nothing more exciting here anymore. It's all over. And if you have to make a bracha then certainly before you eat the food, you have to make a bracha because there is an excitement. And that's when you have the excitement. I want to eat this food. I have a time for this food. So there you have to make a bracha. And that's why they say it's easier to say please than to say thank you. When you're hungry, you want to say, please, please, can I have the food? Once you have the food already, you ate already, I don't need that person anymore. I already ate my food. What do I have to say thank you for? As opposed to Torah's punkt faket. But Torah, before you learn it, we don't appreciate the Torah. So with Torah, you have to make a bracha before, that's the bigger chiddush. After someone learns Torah, he sees the godliness of the Torah, the sweetness of the Torah, there's no longer a need to say, why are you making a bracha now? It's a partial disaster. The Kal V'chaimer, you have to make a bracha before, but you have to make a bracha after, because the Torah is the sweetest thing that we can get. It's the aside of having it and not having it. The Haftarah in Parashas Vayera and Melachim talks about Elisha. And it says that there was the Eshes Evadya. Eshes Evadya came to Elisha crying. She said, I don't have anything. Yehoram wants to take you. The Maisa with Eshes Evadya is that she and her husband Evadya, they fed 100 Nevi'im when they were trying to kill them. And Evadya died. And Yehoram said, if you don't pay me back, I'm going to take your children as servants. And she needed money to pay back Yehoram, the loan that Evadya took. And Elisha said, go and get 300, go take as many jugs as you can, and the nace with the oil of pouring it and pouring it and pouring it. And it said that she got, I believe it was 395 jugs together, and she filled it all up, and she became Ishmet. And what the Pasuk says after, which many of the Mepharshim explain, what was she going to ask? But after it says, Vatovoi, Vatagid l'Israeli kin. She went back after she got the 395 barrels full with shemen. She's now a wealthy lady. She went back to Elisha to say, what should I do now? Mepharshim explained, some say she was asking, do I have to give meiser on it? Because it's not really shemen, it's neshemen, like the chayim by Chanukah and Chanukah. Many Mepharshim give different kashas to ask questions about what meiser she was going to ask. But the bottom line is she came back to ask a kasha. Because she wasn't saying, koichi v'yotzim yodi, which the Pasha said in this week as well, that a person that he's accomplished or something and he says, oh, I did it myself. In the beginning, I need help. But once I got the help, I don't need Elisha anymore. I accomplished what I did. This is the lesson that we learn over here, that a person has to always be ready to ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, to help, ask, get help from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And in that schus we talk, we'll have like the Behoya Eker Tishmur, that we'll get all the brachas that says in this week's parsha. Good Shabbos.